Beacon League, what's going on? It's your reigning champ, Mark Axelon, a.k.a. The Machine, here for the episode right before the draft. It's the major episode here. We got a lot on the table with you guys, a lot of draft strategies, thing, draft picks, a lot of different things we're going to talk about to get everything going for you guys. We got the rest of the panel here with us, but before we introduce the panel, let's get that intro going. Okay, we got with us today, we got Drew on the mic.
What up, what up?
We got Mr. Jordan Green himself.
Yerp.
And we got Businesses Booming City Dawkins.
What's going on, people?
All right, everybody excited for the draft coming up? We're going to be at the Pettiford House in the City of Champion.
Facts.
Big facts. Lit, yo.
Got the whole house, too.
I'm glad we're doing the draft this year in the champion's hometown, the city of champion, home of the Boxers.
Here we go.
I mean, how excited are you guys about the new season for fantasy football? Last year, in my opinion, was a great success. The competition level was there. I mean, even though Drew and Tyler were the floor mat for everybody, but for the most part, I think it was a competitive season. Some of the highest stalker guys, you know, they perform as well that they were to do. What are you guys excited the most about this season? I'm going to go with you first, Jordan.
What am I excited the most? I mean, every year, I love the draft. I love the atmosphere we create. It's really just, like, a good time getting all the guys in the same room. And it's just, I think this year is going to be even more competitive than last year. For one, people don't want that baldy. But people want it. People want rings, yo. I know for me, I want rings, man. So I'm excited for the draft itself.
All right. What about you, City?
One thing I look forward to during fantasy is the definitely the close games, like the Monday night football games. Close games. You got one player versus one player left. Maybe you got a linebacker. There's something exciting, like just make you one thing fantasy football done for me is this has made me excited to watch more than just, you know, my favorite teams or my favorite players. Like, everything matters. I'm excited for the waiver wire chase. I mean, that's always fun. Who got who? Who's on the waiver wire next? Who's gonna? That's another thing. I'm really excited to see, like, who's gonna be that sleeper on the waiver wire that someone picks up and, you know, competes at a high level with. So I'm excited, man.
All right. And let's talk to the commissioner who's hosting this year. First year hosting for the commissioner. So what are you excited about?
I'm mostly excited about, well, the draft, yes, in more of a general sense, but the fact that we have the super flex now. I'm really interested in how that affects not only the drafts, but throughout the rest of the season, how teams are going to manage with that super flex. Like, how many teams are really going to go for starting two QBs, starting two tight end? Like, you have so many options there with that super flex. I'm excited to see how everybody uses that position.
Yeah, that is going to be something that's very new. It could be two things. Either it's going to make it, at the end of the day, I know when we first started, we were going to go with that. I was skeptical about it, but the more I think about it, I realize it is going to make the league a little bit more competitive. It's new. It's a new idea, but it's something that, you know, I'm looking forward to. But me personally, there's two things I'm excited about going into this fantasy season. I'm looking forward to those nail-biting games, kind of like the game I had with T. Little last year where a difference of a tenth of a point is making a difference in who's winning the game. You know, and it's usually that Monday night game that's the decision-maker for that game. So I'm looking forward for stuff like that. And also, overall, I just love the draft atmosphere when we do the draft. We got the wives together. We got the kids, everybody. We, you know, usually we got a grill on, good food, good drink. And it's just a good time. You know, whenever the, you know, the crew gets to get together, it's always a good time. So I'm looking forward to the draft for that reason. It's actually one of my favorite time of the year when we get together for that draft. Just some of the people that we typically don't hang out with, that's part of the crew, that comes together. Kendall, you know, this year I'm excited about having Marcus and his family up with us, so that should be a good time. All right, guys, we're gonna get into it a little bit deeper. All right, the first thing I want to really talk about this year was just typically the guy who's the MVP in the NFL is gonna be also your MVP in fantasy football. Last year, without a doubt, that was Patrick Mahomes, who had that role last year. It was crazy how Mike Waller had a chance to steal this guy, I think in the fifth round last year. With that being said, Drew, I'm going to let you take the lead on this. Who do you think is going to be the NFL MVP this year? And do you think this person, does that mean that person's also going to be the league MVP this year for fantasy also?
The MVP of the league. I will, you know what? Mahomes is going to repeat at MVP. I think he's going to repeat. Just because I don't think he's going to repeat the fantasy or real life numbers that he had last season. I don't see anybody ever throwing 50 touchdowns two seasons in a row. He doesn't have Kareem Hunt, so that'll be a little bit of a drop off. People are going to get used to him, but at the same time, he's now has another year of experience in the NFL against NFL defenses, so that might cancel itself out. But I don't know. The team's still stacked. They're pretty good on defense still. And I don't think – I mean, Brady's obviously the other quarterback in that – in the AFC that's obviously the best ever to ever do it, but I don't see him having much competition for MVP, in my opinion. It could be somebody else, but for right now, I'm just stick with my homeboy. Or your homeboy, however you say it.
What about you, Jordan? Who do you think is going to be the league MVP this year?
So, my league MVP is extremely contingent on if this boy will stay on the field. But my boy Andy Luck, yo, I really think he's going to have...
Andy year. Luck.
Yeah,
that's man. That's a good pick, bro.
We haven't seen...
That's my guy.
Yo, last year, we saw a retro Andrew Luck, man. And the team has only gotten better since. The run game will be more established because you got Marlon Mack back there. You got Nyheim Hines. You got their roles a little bit more solidified. So now the run game will be able to flourish, taking pressure off of the pass game. You got T.Y. Hilton back, healthy, ready to rip. You got, it was Devin Funchess. That's who it was. Got the addition of Devin Funchess. So you added another big guy. And now this year, we saw what Eric Ebron could do last year. But now you got a healthy Jack Doyle also. So you got a lot of weapons on that offense. And the defense, it's still just okay. Which, fantasy-wise, that's good because that's more reps that Andrew Luck is going to get offensively. So I think if he can stay healthy, I just got a tick across my phone right before the podcast that said that he's going to be sitting out the preseason with an ankle injury. So that makes me a little bit, a little bit skeptical to say that he's going to be the league MVP. But like I said, if he is on the field and he plays 16 games, I swear to you, that is your league MVP.
Then you make me switch my answer, Jordan.
you brought up some strong arguments here, but I think it's a little bit of a reach to say Andrew Luck is gonna go for. Yeah, my thing with Andrew Luck, let's first let the guy get to prove himself first. I think Andrew Luck's one of those quarterbacks that has the most to prove in the NFL. One, because of the injury issue, I don't think he's ever completed two full seasons in a row. Last year he had a good season, but I don't see enough in that offense to make me go, oh man, that's gonna be. I look at Andrew Luck; he's gonna be one of the top quarterbacks in the league next year. But league MVP, I think it's a stretch. Yes, Ebron has had a really good season last year. Tariq Hill, T.Y. Hilton also also had, you know, it's a man that's a household name, but you look at Desmond Funch, he's a Carolina reject. You look at, like, you know what I'm saying? I don't feel like he's good. And then again, it's just a personal feeling. I'm not doubting how good he is, but I just think it's a little bit of a stretch to be putting him already in the MVP conversation.
I get it, but you know what the thing is, man, is I feel like when I hear the word MVP, the word MVP in the NFL nowadays, the player doesn't always have to be the most valuable player to the team.
Nah, it should be the MEP, the most explosive player.
Exactly.
And to my opinion, yeah. Andrew Luck is not explosive.
You know, because
he's good.
Because like you said, you know, if these guys don't, the supporting cast around Andrew Luck, if they don't perform at the level that they're supposed to, but Andrew Luck still gets it done, wouldn't that mean he's the most valuable player? You know, but that's what I'm saying. It's like, I feel like there's a difference in the definition of what the MVP actually means.
Yeah, I got you. How about your city?
I've been saying this. I've been saying this from the jump. I have not changed my answer. It's going to be Big Ben. Haters will say it's biased. Hold on. Haters will say it's biased. It's really not. This is an unbiased opinion. I think that Big Ben is going to have his best season since he's been in the NFL. Last year, he threw 5,000 yards, 34 touchdowns. Now, granted, 15 of those touchdowns went to arguably the best receiver in the league and Antonio Brown. But I think I don't think there's a heavier boulder that someone has to carry this year than Big Ben. I mean, this dude has been criticized for pretty much his whole career of having a high caliber offense, a great defense, whatever, what have you. I think he's going to be motivated, especially with his new young team that they put around him. I mean, everything about the Steelers right now, obviously, I'm a fan, so I love it. So, Big Ben and his Big Ben's cool with the Rooneys. He's cool with Mike Tomlin. He's cool with the offensive coordinator. It's just a young, motivated team, cancer-free. I don't know if Big Ben is going to be the fantasy MVP. I would probably have to tip my hat to Mahomes just because his talent is just ridiculous. I think Mahomes is going to put up the most points. But league MVP, it's going to be Ben Roethlisberger, and you guys heard it here first.
Oh.
Drops the mic.
Folks, did you hear it? He drops the mic. He says it's going to be Big Ben. So, you know, hopefully, you know, the dog bite as loud as he barks.
He's drunk.
For me, like I said, I look at it, and I'm sorry. My homeboy is one of those talent that I've never seen before. And the entire time I've been watching football, I don't know if y'all had a chance to watch that first series in that preseason game.
Yeah,
that offense looks more explosive than it looked last year.
Yo,
literally
that receiver, yo,
from Georgia, yes. Miko Allen, something like that.
Bro, that kid,
but they drafted
nasty.
Him out of Georgia, and they drafted the kid because they thought Tariq Hill wasn't gonna be available.
Yeah, now he's always available.
The kid runs just as fast as Tariq Hill. Tariq Hill, you know, got away with murder. And you got Travis Kelce, who's not at Gronk's retired, the best tight end in football. You got Sammy Watkins, who's one of the best deep threats in football. And then you got the cheetah. He's called the cheetah because of how fast he is. And you got this rookie who's just as fast. It's just literally, literally that offense the other day when I was watching, looked like somebody was playing Madden on rookie while the defense was on all Madden. That's really what it looked like. So, I mean, I look at it, and again, I'll take it a step further. I think he's going to be – his stats from last year, this year.
Mm.
And realistically, do any of you guys think that Patrick Mahomes makes it out of the first round?
No.
No.
He's not. I can guarantee he's not.
I already know who's taking
it. Exactly. I know three people who want him. Yeah. So he's not making it.
I'm going to hit up Charlotte. You should hold it down.
Hit up whoever you want, bro. He's not getting the call, bro. Actually, you're not even 12 no more.
He's gone before me, bro.
Yeah, bro.
I know.
You guys could take it. I do not believe in drafting a quarterback.
Yeah, nor do I. I don't care if there's three quarterbacks starting.
As good, my whole take on it this year is with us doing a flex quarterback, as good as my homeboy is, I mean, we all know if he makes it to Kendall, he's not going past Kendall in this
Absolutely
draft.
Absolutely not.
But it's just, yes, he's a talent that's really good, but I still think there's other quarterbacks that one, there's one of them that's, is my, he's my boy. I'm hoping he falls down to me later in the draft, but there's a lot of talent out there.
Everyone has a lot of quarterback talent. They want.
Let me ask you guys then. So we're all in agreement that we wouldn't dare touch a quarterback in the first round, right?
I don't believe in it.
I'm straight.
So,
well, for the move that I made, before I made that move, if my homeboy was available at 12, I would take my homeboy at 12.
Okay, so that so that's a part of my question. At what point would you feel you're not reaching for Mahomes anymore?
Third round?
13.
I'm sorry. And again, my whole thing is just because there's not that many. Listen, Mahomes, I'm a firm believer. If you feel the player is your guy and you want to go get it, go get him. Mm-hmm. But because I rather that than me hating myself, kind of like last year when I sat on Mahomes and the pick right before my pick, he got taken off the board. Mm-hmm. And my thing about it, I look at it where, for example, like that, those top three picks should always be the league's top three running backs.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's just, I feel like it's a written rule because after those top three running backs, it dramatically changes the talent level for running back. Yep. So that's why I said, once you get out of that top three pick, it's fair game on Mahomes, you know? Because there's not that many other running back where you're like, okay, when you look at Saquon, actually top four running back, you go Saquon, Zeke, McCaffrey, and Kamara. Yeah. These are the only guys that set apart. Every other running back that exists, you could get them really late. And I know a lot of people say go after running backs early in the draft. In my opinion, you could always get a running back later in the draft. Mm-hmm. All right, guys, we're going to move on to the next topic just so that we can stay on schedule here. Now, my next thing I wanted to bring up, we all know drafting in general. I don't care what you tell me. There's strategies you can come up with and all that stuff. But at the end of the day, it's a gamble. It's an educated guess that you just hope works out, right? Now, this year, and we were just talking about some of the, you know, players where it might be risky to go after these players early. Now, you know, in your opinion, Sid, what are some of the players that you think might be a little bit risky to go out and draft early, maybe so you don't end up in a Perry Sim type of situation?
I mean, honestly, bro, other than the, you know, the obvious answers like Zeke and Gordon, for we know why, I'm sure you guys are going to touch on that, so I'll let you do that. I'm truly worried about Le'Veon Bell. Like, first of all, Le'Veon hasn't played a full season since 2014, okay? When he sat out in 2017, it took him about four games to start putting up running back one numbers again. Now, this time, this man's been on the shelf for a year. He gained weight. All right, he lost it. That's cool. He hasn't been hit. He's in a new offensive scheme. He doesn't have a great O-line. And this is someone who was spoiled with arguably the best offensive line in football. I think he's just going to... Now, I'm not saying that he's not going to be like a good player to have on your roster. What I'm saying is I've been seeing Levy go between picks 5 and 10 in about every draft. I think he's going to underwhelm whoever picks him up in the first round. And I truly think that. I don't think he's a safe, like, I just can't be fully confident in picking Le'Veon Bell, whether you're a Jet fan or not, whether you like him or not, especially with the Jets offense. I mean, he's the number one receiver over there. If I'm any defense, and just look at the teams he plays with. The Bills have a great defense that's underrated. The Patriots have a great defense. I mean, this is, you take him in that high, he's probably going to be putting up RB2, RB3 numbers. I just don't trust Le'Veon Bell. That's a risk.
I actually agree with you.
Yeah. No, that's it. I mean, I agree. That is a tough pick. How about you, Jordan? Who you got in that category?
So I am actually scared to death of Todd Gurley. I just, if you pay attention, man. So here's the thing. There's no doubt that Todd Gurley has is most likely the most talented running back in the league. What concerns me is you pay attention to last season and the trend. You started to see his carries started to taper off, and that 70-30 share started to turn into 60-40, and then eventually turned to almost 55-45. To the point where now you're in the Super Bowl. You gotta give everything you got, every trick out of the book, and Todd Gurley is still in a timeshare. You know, that tells me that the Rams organization isn't telling everything. They're not letting us know the full scope of his condition right now. They went out, they drafted a running back. I mean, you got to be blind if you don't think that there are red flags here. You know, I just don't think that the Rams organization is being not that they have to be honest with us. I mean, we're just fans, but they're not being completely transparent, and that scares me. You know, you hear things from Sean McVay saying, "Oh, he's on track, he's looking good, this and that," but you don't hear any updates about his actual condition. That scares me. I'm sorry, you could be Michael Jordan. I don't care. If I can't trust that you're going to be there 14 games for me, I'm nervous. Especially when I got to spend the draft capital that I have to get you. Mm.
The best ability is availability.
Exactly.
Now, let me ask you a question, Jordan. If you're sitting in the bottom of the first round pick, let's call it 10 to 12, mm-hmm. and Todd Gurley's available, are you making that pick?
Bro, I'm not touching him till no earlier than 24.
Facts.
How about the rest of you guys? How do you feel? You're sitting
absolutely.
In the bottom of the especially
absolutely
you're
not.
Sitting with your 12 and 13 pick.
Yeah.
You making it?
Oh, for Gurley?
Yeah.
No, I probably pass on Gurley at 12 or 13. Just
now,
probably for me, probably outside of the top 20, I would say. Mm-hmm. Then I'd start considering it. Cause you can get the Henderson, I think is his last name, the running back they drafted. He's pretty nice. So if I was gonna take the gamble on Gurley, I just try to get Henderson as a handcuff. But the knee does scare me though. But it's also like, okay, but if the knee's fine, then you got the steal of the draft, like hands down.
Go ahead, Dre.
No, I was just gonna say, if I was able to get somebody like David Johnson, Nick Chubb. And with my I'm actually pick 9 right now. So this is stuff that I've actually thought about. If I was able to get somebody like David Johnson or Nick Chubb, someone who is safe and in an offense where I know they'll at least put up points every single week, I might go ahead and say, let me go running back, and maybe take the risk with Gurley. And then, like Drew said, get the handcuff. But even that, I just don't like it. Like,
yeah, me neither.
I don't like that idea.
Yeah.
Man, like you said, but at the end of the day, high risk, high rewards. But I just don't think Todd Gurley's worth the risk. And I just feel like there's so many running backs out there that you can actually go after. And that, but again, with all that money he just got paid and the fact that they're willing to draft another running back, it's just like,
I really don't like my first round pick. To even think about, if I really got to sit here and be like, is he really worth it?
Yeah,
I don't want to pick him.
Yeah, don't miss in the first round.
Yeah,
first round got to be a sure shot.
It's a known fact. Your first four picks have to hit.
You can't miss
your first four picks.
No, that's very true. That's very true. I mean, I myself looking at this whole draft thing, people that are high. Risk pick, some of the names you guys mentioned, like Le'Veon Bell, you don't know what you're getting with him. Todd Gurley, you don't know what you're getting with him. And again, Drew, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, Drew. Go ahead. All right, so, looking at it, with that being said, Odell. That's a high risk guy. But it's a high risk that, and again, it's a high risk, high reward. With Baker and that offense, are they lighting it up? You could come back and see, you know, Odell just completely blows it out the water. Another guy, Antonio Brown. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you guys see Antonio Brown going into the first round?
No.
No.
Have you seen him doing what?
First round.
What, take him in the first round?
Do you see Antonio Brown being picked in the first round?
Oh, no, no.
Second round. Maybe if I, like, snorted crack. Yeah. Yeah, maybe. I can see him late second round.
Yeah, I can see him late second
round. He's scaring people, though, bro. I mean, this is a dude that he's threatened to retire 3 times in the last 3 months.
I understand that. Listen, off-field baggage issues hurt you in real life. His feet are cold. But it doesn't hurt you in fantasy football. This is a guy that's going to go on the football field. He is the receiver, and he's going to put up the number. Now, let me ask you a question, Sid. Juju and Antonio Brown is sitting there. They're both available. Bottom of the second round. Who are you picking?
That's tough.
Easy for me. Yeah, y'all know my
answer. I'm taking Juju.
Yep. Yeah, me too.
Whoa.
Listen, really? Bro, I have watched people for the last three years.
Am I hearing a consensus behind that?
Yeah.
Yes.
I've never seen someone with this serious CTE since O.J. Simpson. And O.J. Simpson went and killed his wife. So, you know what I'm saying? A.B. is such a, like, we're not even just talking about him staying healthy at this point. We're talking about, is this dude going to drive his Maybach 100 miles per hour into Raider Stadium on Sunday and crash it? When we went to Pittsburgh, this nigga got pulled over for speeding. Like, if he wasn't AB, he wouldn't be playing. Can you really go on week to week and trust this dude that he has to stay healthy and that he has to keep his his baggage off the field clean?
Well,
it's just not worth it.
Injury has never been an issue with Antonio Brown. It's always been
his feet are cold this year, bro.
See, here's my thing: is aside from all of that off the field stuff, like that's its own animal. He's on the Raiders, bro. Like, he's with Derek Carr right now. Derek Carr hasn't shown us that he had one bad season.
Yeah, he's had Jordan. One good season. Yeah. Jordan, where do you go? What team do you go to for receivers to die?
I mean, that's where every legend has gone. Is
that we're talking about Randy Moss, like the Jerry Rice, like, best athlete to ever play this game, sucked in Oakland and went to then broke records in New England. I mean, it's just I don't know.
So I'm not saying that AB is gonna suck. I don't think AB is gonna suck. I just don't think AB is going to be the same animal. I think it's going to be a different world, a different atmosphere, because he's playing I hate helping Sid, but the Steelers were a better offense for AB. The Raiders right now, they don't have an identity. They're still trying to figure out who their coach even is right now.
I wouldn't say they're trying to figure out who their coach is. The guy got a 10-year, $100 million contract.
So. I'm saying they're trying to get to know him. They don't even know, they don't have an identity right now.
I believe the team has an identity. The Oakland Raiders, they've accepted that we're going to be the bad guys, and we're going to come out there and ball. Hey, look at you, Miami, back in the 90s, late 80s. They were the quote-unquote bad guys, and that's what the Oakland Raiders have accepted. Richie Incognito. They got guys like Sid's favorite, Vontaze Burfict.
Look at the people you're listing, and just think about the baggage that they have.
Vontaze Burfict is a baller. Yes, he has baggage, but they're ballers. And who's better to handle these baggages than John Gruden, who's an experienced guy, who's baggage himself? I think there's just going to be a bunch of misfits who light it up.
That's my thing. I don't think it's going to be this prolific, high-powered offense that the Steelers were. You got to remember, the Steelers ran more plays than anyone in the NFL. So that's volume. Like
It's Juju's first year being double teamed. It's Juju's first year when Bill Belichick gets in and goes into the team meeting on Monday morning. It's the first year where they're gonna be game planning against shutting him down. Antonio Brown, this is just another day at the office for him to be the receiver.
And I know, I get it. I'm just saying, it's that offense in Oakland. they are not going to have the volume that Pittsburgh does. Pittsburgh, Juju can get doubled. Juju can get doubled. There's still going to be opportunities because of how much volume they have.
Yeah, exactly.
All I'm saying is prior to Frostbite, you had a different energy.
I did.
Well,
that's all I'm saying.
Honestly, bro, you're right. If you ask me, it's a month
of different energy.
Not me. I've been saying Juju since June.
I'm still having the same energy I had. I just think Juju's gone. It's normal. He's gonna choke in the beginning because he's not gonna be used to having a double team every play. Juju has never been the man before.
Nah, Juju going off, bro. He had 104 catches last year and like 1,100. He'll be fine, bro. Like Antonio didn't have any. He was the man for a second on the Steelers, and he turned out fine last five seasons. Mm-hmm. He'd be all right. Juju be all right.
That's what I'm saying. He's gonna be fine because as long as Jameis Conner is doing his job. They can't.
Yeah.
No defense can afford to double Juju because James Conner will light it up.
What Juju got working out for him, the Steelers have always been able to develop the next receiver number one, from Hines Ward to Antonio Brown to now
Mike
Juju.
Wallace.
So hopefully that's Mike Wallace.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the one good consistent thing that's been about the Steelers. They don't fire their head coaches, and they develop receiver ones good, and they always get a great middle linebacker.
Even James Washington was looking nice. That's one thing you get to forward from that team.
Now let me ask you. Oh, Drew, go ahead. Who you got for your sleeper?
Oh no, you good?
I mean, mine sleeper. You're overrated guy.
Overrated was going to be Antonio Brown, so we covered it pretty much.
We just went in on him.
Yeah.
All right. Now my next thing I was going to bring up is just talking about some of the sleepers that you can get in the late rounds. Guys that anyone's not thinking about. For example, Mike Waller did a great job last year with my homeboy, fifth round pick. Who's going to be the homeboy of this year that you can catch in the fifth round and that you're going to expect to do big things?
Whoever wants to go. Oh, I'll take it. So I'm not going to give up all my sleepers because I got a draft with y'all niggas. But I would go, it's a wide receiver I would go with. I'm not sure what round he would go in, but a sleeper for me would be Tyler Lockett from the Seahawks. Now that Baldwin's gone, Lockett's over there by himself. I don't really think Metcalf is going to go off anything crazy in his first season. He's kind of just a deep threat. And Russell Wilson needs somebody to throw it to, and Lockett had a pretty good season himself last year. So I think that's a really good value pick, especially if you're in a league that's PPR, which is like ours. A really good value at wide receiver for your two or three spot or your super flex.
All right, I like it. Go ahead, Chitty.
I actually have three sleepers. I'm not really interested in them that much, but I think that whoever does grab these dudes will be we'll definitely reap the rewards. My first one is Marlon Mack. This dude started 10 games last year, and he eclipsed 900 yards and had 9 touchdowns. And now he is a short starter. So should he stay healthy in that Colt offense, not only do I see him easily breaking 1,000, I definitely see him upwards of 12 TDs. My second one is Chris Godwin from the Buccaneers. Last year, he did pretty good. He had about 60 receptions, close to 1,000 yards. But, you know, I think that having those two quarterbacks going back and forth kind of messed up the chemistry. Now we got Jameis Winston on his last leg. We got Mike Evans drawing in all the coverage. I think that he's going to be definitely a receiver with a lot of upside this year and with the struggling Bucks. And my last sleeper is Jordan Howard, because I honestly feel like he's a perfect fit for the Eagles.
Yeah. Like, although he hasn't won the starting job yet?
He hasn't won the starting job yet, but this is a north and south runner. I think he was really pissed off last year with his competition with Cohen. I think he's going to be motivated. He's on a new team. He has a great O-line. I mean, if the Eagles were able to resurrect Jay Ajayi's career, I think Jordan Howard can really, especially, I think he's going to be a red zone killer this year. So those are my three sleepers.
All right, let me hear you, Jordan.
So my sleeper is usually going in the fifth, sixth round, but I think he has more round three value, which would be Chris Carson of the Seattle Seahawks.
Mm. Yep.
I think Chris Carson is in the position to become the guy this season.
Last year he did well for me.
Yeah, you know
he did,
and that's like that was the sneakiest 1,100 yards I've ever seen in my life.
Yep, like it wasn't sneaky. I used to reap those 20 plus points every week.
But you know, what I'm saying is that he wasn't a sexy pick. Like not a lot of people were talking about him. Not a lot of people were, you know, he wasn't generating a lot of hype. They dealt Mike Davis, right? That's who it was. Pretty sure they got rid of. So that backfield is getting less cluttered. Rashard Penny, I think he's gonna have a more clear cut job, being maybe the third down back, maybe taking some of the receiving work. I don't think Chris Carson is going to be a workhorse right yet, but let anything happen to Rashard Penny, you got an RB1 in the fifth round.
Yep.
That's somebody who I kind of would like to target in the fifth round if I can get it. He'd be a great flex.
Nice.
I mean, for me here, my number one guy is Damian Williams in Kansas City. I'm in love with that offense. And you look at I don't know if you noticed, Kareem Hunt left, and that offense didn't skip a beat. Yeah. And that man played two games and got himself an extension.
I'm
excited to see what he's gonna do this year. I'm hoping this is a guy that could be sitting down there in the fifth, fourth round. Another guy that Sid already brought up, Marlon Mack. I'm excited to see what he does. That offensive line is a solid offensive line. I see him going in there and doing his thing. And my other guy is my guy that I've been getting every year. I've been playing fantasy football, who doesn't fail to let me down with blowing out his knee every week 8 of the season, Will Fuller. Hopefully this will be the year where he finishes. Hopefully this will be the year where he finishes the season out.
I like that. I would love to see his numbers.
I draft Will Fuller every year. He makes it out to week 8. He gives me 20 points every week up until week 8. And then he has a season-ending injury, so we'll see how that goes. And that's going to be exciting to see how that Lamar Miller, Duke Johnson situation also play down there. But
yeah, sure.
That's going to see who's going to win that starting job. But that's going to be interesting, to say the least. Now, with that being said, the other thing I wanted to talk about is just, you know, we're talking about guys that are high risk, you know, sleepers, guys you could steal in the draft. Now, what do you guys consider to be a successful draft strategy? So we're going to – the self-proclaimed GM of the year, Jordan, I'm going to let you take the lead on this one.
Why is it always got to be self-proclaimed, man?
Because you've yet to win – for guys opinionated as you, you've yet to win anything.
It's been two drafts.
I was about to say.
But any event – so here's my thing. When it comes to strategy, the best strategy you can have is flexibility. You're not always like, the thing is, a lot of people will walk into a draft, you know, maybe like, for example, I'm pick 9 and there's not a ton of great elite running backs at that pick. So some people might say, all right, we'll go high value wide receiver. Maybe I'll go wide receiver, running back. Or then they'll say, you know, let me go wide receiver, running back. I don't like doing that because then it just locks you into a box. And now, you know, say you do get a value that wasn't what you were planning on picking. Now your whole draft strategy is kind of thrown off. So I think being able to be flexible and draft in the moment is one of the best strategies you can have. For me, pick 9. Is probably one of the easiest picks this season, because I literally just have to take whatever the best player on the board is that falls to me. And then I build my team accordingly. So just being flexible, being able to read the draft. If you see, for example, I'm going to be watching what you guys do in the early rounds. If I see every single person is taking a running back, well, I'm going to take a receiver. And then now when you guys are picking up receivers, I'm going to be picking up running backs. You know, so you got to watch the people who are drafting too. It's not as, I don't think it's as simple as just saying, all right, I'm going to go wide receiver maybe. Flexibility is super key.
All right. How about you, Mr. Self-proclaimed beast who couldn't even make it to the playoff? Oh, sorry.
Oh, man. That was a good one. Listen, man, I'm a firm believer in just building your team with your gut. I mean, there's no real black and white guideline to a winning team. I think there's a science to drafting, but I also think that it's belief in your trust and your research and the players that you've watched yourself. And I think that, you know, there's different types of people. I mean, you got like the waiver wire warriors, like Endley last year. I mean, he built his team like Legos off of waivers to get to the playoffs. You got the trade people. Like, maybe they stack up in one position and they start dealing for what they need after the draft. You also have, you know, people like me. I like to build a balanced team. I like to have talent from QB all the way down to kicker, but be able, like Jordan said, you also want to be flexible. You might have to trade, you might have to do some waivers, you might, like, it's definitely an ongoing process. But I think the most important and to me the most fun in playing fantasy is trusting your gut and just like being aware of everything that's going on. I mean, yeah, I sat with me during games. If I see someone going off, I'm in my phone. I'm on the waiver wire immediately. If I see someone drop, like when a dumb Jay Pinkney dropped Ezekiel Elliott and that nigga said it, we was all drinking, laughing, and chilling. Sid Dawkins was behind the counter on his phone picking up Zeke. So it's just like, it's fun. Like, that's the best part of fantasy to me. It's like, you are literally your own GM and you are making decisions based off things that you have seen, things that you know about football. So just go with your gut and build your team. And whatever you got to do, you bend to it. You're going to have to make some extra trades, extra waivers, whatever you got to do. Just, you believe in a guy or a team or a philosophy, and you just follow it straight through.
All right. Then what happened last year?
To be honest, right, to keep it a buck, I had a good draft. It's just bad things kept happening. And, I mean, I feel like everyone has seasons like that. I mean, underwhelming seasons. I was fighting for a playoff spot. But once it gets out of control of your destiny, whatever happens, happens, bro. But I look to bounce back this year.
All right. Yeah, that's what it's about. It's about falling down and getting back up. Now, the next guy, I'm afraid to ask him. Second to none, buddy. Hey,
listen. You call me and Tyler the doormat of the league last year. I like to think of myself as the threshold of the league. Not the Tyler could be the doormat.
I like threshold. That.
But my strategy usually is, see, it worked season one, but season two, I don't know, probably because I took Dalvin Cook and Alex Collins, but I usually like to flood my first few rounds with just wide receivers and running backs. That's usually always been my, it's like, it's a loosely based strategy, but that's usually what I go to, just because I feel like that's obviously the you get the most points and that's the most available players in most leagues usually. So I just like to flood whatever the best value is at whatever spot I got. But kind of like what Jordan was saying and Sid too, just watching what every other team is doing. Like, you don't ever want to be on the end of a quarterback run or something like that. Like, once you see him quarterbacks start running off the board, you shouldn't really panic and be like, oh crap, I got to get a QB now. Like, sometimes in certain positions, depending on where your team looks like, well, everybody's grabbing that, go grab something that's not getting taken. And then whoever you think you weren't going to get on that run will be there 2-3 rounds later because everybody else has already grabbed them. So just stuff like that is usually what I like to think about. But my strategy is usually just to stack up with receivers and running backs and then tight ends I usually wait on. QBs, I got to see with this super flex, but usually there's a lot of QB value out there this year. So it's like literally like 3-4 points difference between the top quarterbacks and then the number of like 14 quarterbacks. It's real deep. So we'll see how that goes. Yeah. But.
Well, my whole take on this whole thing is every year is, you know, I'm a firm believer going into the draft, come up with what your game plan is going to be for the draft. Don't get caught up in the draft, though. Ignore the noise. Ignore everything else. Just have your game plan, come up with your board, and go with it. Like, I look at myself, you know, earlier in the week I was getting ready for the draft, and I came out with my draft board. First thing I do two Excel spreadsheets. I got a spreadsheet, you know, rank each position. Who, in my opinion, I think are top 10 in this position, top 20, top 25. And, you know, after that, then you go and create another spreadsheet. Okay, in this round, that's kind of what – that's the position I want there. In these round, I want either one of these two positions. And follow it. If you know that in the third round – for example, last year, I looked at it. Tariq Hill – was a guy I really wanted, and he was my number one wide receiver. And my decision last year was my second round pick. My second pick was going to be my wide receiver. Okay, who's my top receiver in my opinion? Tariq Hill. And again, didn't let me down. The guy gave me – I never had a week where the guy gave me less than 20 points. But during the draft, it was like, why would you draft Tariq Hill? It's a reach. Maybe it was a reach, but to me, based on my research, this guy is somebody I wanted at that position. So that's my whole take on it. Come up with your own system. Find out what you feel like is going to work for you. And once you come up with that strategy, trust it. Again, if it fails you, it fails you. You learn from it. But don't get caught up in the draft. Don't get caught up in the emotion of the draft. And I think you look at the guys who consistently do bad every year, guys like Perry, no offense. You look at the guys that just pretty much never do well are guys that get caught up in the emotion of drafting players. Now, like the last thing I got for us for today so we could wrap up is, you know, Saquon was a rookie last year that pretty much came in, took the league by storm, and, you know, did his thing. And, you know, shout out to Mark O for going out to get him. I think he got him in the first round, too, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
But this year, who's you guys' rookie that you think is going to be the Saquon or the fantasy rookie of the year?
I'll go.
Okay, Jordan. Go ahead.
Jordan. My opinion changed a little bit since I watched the preseason, and I'm a big fan of N'Keal Harry. Big fan.
Really?
Yo,
he's nasty, bro.
Yo, he's such a freak, dude. he had two really, really impressive catches that, like.
Yep.
It was like these are like mid-season catches. Like he's laying out for him. And that impressed me. That effort, it also showed me he's got desire. He's got that will to compete. That's gonna take you a long way. Needless to say, he's playing with the GOAT, the greatest quarterback of all time. And Tom Brady ain't done, bro. I mean, he's just signed an extension, so
he's just playing also for sale. Also,
yeah. So you could say he's just getting started. If he is a student of the game, like this is the one thing that we don't know yet, and time will tell. But if he's a student of the game and he's humble enough to just sit down with Tom and be like, yo, teach me the game, GOAT. Yo, this kid could be in for a season that like we haven't seen from a receiver in a while. Normally
about the other kid, Jacoby, also on that offense. Jacoby, I forgot the last name already. But it was another rookie receiver caught two touchdowns in the first preseason game. This guy run route like he's Antonio Brown.
that New England offense, I mean, there's nothing to be said about it. We know how good it is. So the fact that a physical freak like N'Keal Harry is in that offense and is already really performing really well, I think he could be in shape of having a really good season.
Nice. How about you, Drew?
I would go with, I got two players, but my favorite It's kind of an unpopular opinion, but I really think Kyler Murray's gonna go off, bro.
Yeah.
And that offense that he's in, not that there's like a whole bunch of household names other than Larry Fitz, but he's on the tail end of his career. But Kyler Murray's a baller, bro. Like and he's in the same offense that he was in college, pretty much. And they're gonna throw, if he can't get rid of it downfield, maybe his offensive line's not the greatest. If he can't get it downfield, he's dumping it off to David Johnson. So I don't see, and he can run. So I don't really see him not doing anything less than being one or two for rookie of the year, offensive rookie of the year. And I think he's a great value late in the draft too for a super flex QB position. I really think he's going to go off.
Mm-hmm. All right, I like it. How about you, Sydney?
The guy I've been looking at on the low ski, and I think that's going to go over a lot of niggas' heads this year, is the running back from the Bears, David Montgomery.
Yes.
Not only do I see this nigga taking the starting role, I think he is going to be the face of the Bears this year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just from watching his highlights and his cutting ability and how excited the Bears are to have this dude, this is my – I mean, don't get me wrong. I like Tariq Cohen a lot, and they also got Mike Davis. But I think David Montgomery behind that, especially with that team, the Bears, where they at right now, defense and strong run games wins chips. Mm-hmm. And I see them going deep in the playoffs with off of David Montgomery's back. That's my sleeper. And I think that's going to be the best, not only running back rookie, but the best rookie of this year.
Mm. I agree. That's a guy I also had on my radar. But I mean, since you picked him, I'm gonna go with Josh Jacob. Yeah, the other rookie I'm excited about in Oakland. I think this kid's gonna, he is the running back in Oakland right now. Mm-hmm. There's no competition. There's no nothing. I mean, there's a couple other rookies also in that offense that are coming up, but I'm really excited to see what he does with the NFL. He's a prototypical built running back. You look at his build. You look at Saquon's build. You know, the short, stubby Maurice Jones-Drew, thick thighs kind of guys. So, and these are the guys that John Gruden loves. So, I'm excited to see the season he's going to have this year. Now, guys, with that says, you know, we're all excited with the season coming up. I know the commissioner is going to do one more episode just to go over some of the draft rules. Like I said, me personally, I'm excited for the draft this year, seeing that the champion is going to be in the city of champion for us. We don't got to drive 2 hours for it. But, hey, man, again, can't wait for all of us to get together. A lot of burgers, hot dogs. Mm-hmm. I heard Mama Pettiford and her fine self is coming to cook.
Oh, wow.
Yo, big facts. We get the whole house, bro. The backyard, front yard, top lit.
That's gonna be a good time.
Speaker, food.
We're shutting down the neighborhood for the Beacon League. And again, shout out to new Instagram page for the Beacon League. Love the description.
Nice, yeah, that's awesome. Yo, Drew, keep asking them questions, bro. I like that.
Where can they find
Instagram page, Facebook Live on the draft? We're gonna do everything. Would you ask Jordy?
I said, where can they find us at, Drew?
Oh, the podcast?
Nah, the IG.
Oh, the IG is Beacon_League. Beacon_League is the IG page. You guys go that if you want to keep up with the league. The Facebook page is just our own page, but you could get on the Instagram and check out during the season. We're gonna have all the updates, every single game, every single player that went off. We're gonna have the Baldy of the week, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna have the Alpha of the week. So stay tuned for that. Stay tuned for all the draft coverage. We're gonna do interviews. Facebook Live, whatever we could think of. So keep y'all.
Shout out to the commissioner for taking the league to the next level this year. So a lot of things starting going with big. The podcast.
This is going
to
be awesome.
The Facebook page. It's something that we look at what it was the first year when we first did it to what it's developed to now. It's something that everybody that's been a part of it, even the guys that were a part of it, that's no longer a part of it, everybody played a part. And, you know, and the sky's the limit. I only see this getting better and better and better. every year going forward. So yep. Any last message, you guys? Jordan, what's your last message for the day?
I want to thank you, Mark, for running a really clean, real solid episode. I didn't think you had it in you. This is a very professional episode, and I enjoyed it. So thank you.
All right. Thank you. Wow, I just got a compliment for Jordan. I think I'm going to be able to record and save this because this never happens. How about you, Sidney Dawkins? Aside from making babies, what else you got going on?
I'm even more excited for this draft because I know people like Kango are going to do something wild, and everything we just went over is going to go completely out the window. So I cannot wait.
Hey, Sid, all I got to say is don't be a loser for your son, okay? any last message from you, Drew?
Nah, that's it, bro. Let's get this thing popping. We'll do one more podcast just to go over some of the stuff that we'll be expecting at the draft, what the common people can see from the draft. We're going to do profile pictures. We're going to do everything. The Instagram page will be cracking, so I'm just excited, bro. We're going to get that one last short little podcast and then get ready for the draft in the season.
All right, guys. Sky's the limit. Again, once again, everybody, thank you for popping in and listening to us with us tonight. Again, we're looking forward to the draft season. On that note, the champ's out.
Good leader.